Good evening. It's good to be once again able to assemble together to worship God and to open up His holy word. And as we always encourage, we want you to follow along with the things that are said tonight and make sure that those things come from God's word, because that is our purpose here, is to worship God and preach only the truth that comes from His revealed word. It is what is going to judge us in the last day, and we want to make sure that we are doing those things that are pleasing to Him. I'm grateful again for the opportunity to stand before you, and I hope that you will follow along with the things I'm saying tonight, and hopefully the things that we bring out will be a benefit to you. If I were to show you a dollar bill, how would you know if it's counterfeit or not? Now, I know on the larger bills, they have a little marker that they use nowadays. But one of the first things you would do, well, if George Washington's face is not on there, you're going to know that that's not a real dollar bill. Okay? Or if it has a different number in the corner, if it has a 3 instead of a 1, you know that's not a real dollar bill. Okay? But how does someone that works for the United States Treasury know? How does he become an expert in identifying counterfeit money? Well, he studies this so that he becomes an expert on noticing any defects or any differences from what the original looks like. Think about we're in a time right now where the NCAA tournament's going on, and you talk to someone or you look at someone, maybe you have your favorite team, and you talk about someone, well, that's a really good shooter. He can shoot free throws real well. He can shoot three-pointers real well. Well, how does he become proficient at that? Practice over and over and over. Your great free throw shooters, they may shoot 500 free throws a day. There was a basketball player years ago, I don't know if any of you remember, he played for the Phoenix Suns, Jeff Hornacek. He decided one offseason that he was going to become as good a three-point shooter as he could be. Now, he had never been a good three-point shooter, but he shot 500 three-pointers a day. And you know what happened the next year? He led the league in three-point shooting. It's not a coincidence that people become really good at something with repetition. Jeff becomes very good working in wood through repetition. I'm sure the first time Jeff tried to put something together, he made mistakes, right? We can't just be perfect the first time we do something, okay? If we want to become proficient at shooting a gun to hunt, are we going to be perfect that first time? No, it takes practice, doesn't it? You might go outside of your property and practice. You might go to a gun range, whatever. But we understand that repetition is so important in our daily lives. That's why at our jobs, a lot of times, they will send us for training, right? Ron's probably had additional training in different things to bring you up to speed on things. Maybe something that you need to learn about or remind yourself about. We understand that in our daily lives, and yet people look at the Bible and think, well, I only need to study that topic or that book one time. I'm okay. I've heard it before. And yet repetition is what makes us able to identify false doctrine. When we know this book as good as we know some of the other things in our lives, then we're able to identify. You hear something, you go, well, no, wait, that doesn't sound right, because I know what the Bible says on this. And I go to this chapter and this passage, and I can read and understand that. The Bible tells us over and over how important it is to repeat things, to meditate on things that we read in God's Word. As we had read in the Psalms 1, 9 through 6, before we get into Joshua, the psalmist says in his law, that being God's, he meditates day and night. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't do anything but sit still and meditate on the law of God. No, obviously we all have to do different things throughout the day. But our minds are focused on the will that the Father has for us. When Joshua, if you'll turn to Joshua, the first chapter, remember Joshua is replacing a legend as far as the Jews were concerned, that being Moses. And God gives him the ingredients, the key to success, if he's going to follow Moses and lead the children of Israel. Let's read from Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Let me just go ahead and read it up here since Steve went to that trouble. Sorry about that. It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as this great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now let's notice specifically, starting in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now how can he be strong and courageous? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Great covenant is made, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God gave him a simple key to success as a leader of the children of Israel. You know the book. You study the book. You meditate on it. And you can't go wrong. Because if he knew the law of Moses the way he should, if something starts to happen that differs from that, he's going to say, now wait a second, we can't be involved in that because I know what the law says. We talk about Psalms 1 through 6. Notice the blessed man. Once again in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now notice what the result of meditating in the law. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Meditation, focus on the law. How do you learn things when you were growing up in school? Your multiplication tables. Did you just automatically know all the multiplication tables? You know, teacher says, tell me 10 times 12, Johnny, and you're in the second grade, and you're going, I don't know. Well, we practice it, don't we? Over repetition, over and over and over and over. And then we remember those, right? I like to study history. That's what I enjoy. And I remember things from studying them. Too many people look at the Bible as something, well, we're going to just get it through osmosis. We're going to just kind of hold it up here, and we're going to all of a sudden we're going to have the knowledge that we're supposed to have. You know, we're even more to be judged harshly by God because of all the advantages we have with ability to get to the copy of the Word. Is that not true? We can go on the internet. We can use our cell phones, we can use a tablet, look it up. We can have the actual copy in paper. There are so many ways that we have access to the law. Remember back in the time of Moses and Joshua, how was their way of telling the law? They repeated it over and over. It took effort. And they couldn't just let it go. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute, what the effect was if they didn't do that. Ask yourself this question. If you don't study something for very long, what's going to happen? Especially as we get older. We forget. I remember there were people in high school that they always got good grades on the tests, and you would ask them a week after the exam something about that, and they go, I don't remember. Because all they did was just work on it long enough to get through that test, and they could care less about it from then on. And that's the way it is with man. We forget if we don't use frequently. So let's go to our next verse. Deuteronomy 4th chapter. Now this is when Moses was still alive. Moses is addressing the people. And in verses 23 and 24, it says, take heed to yourselves. Once again, Steve, I'm getting behind myself. Take heed to yourselves lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. Now what will happen if they forget that covenant? And make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Do you remember what happened when Moses delayed from the mount when he went to go get the law? He was gone longer than the children of Israel thought he should be. What did they do? They built themselves a golden calf. Aaron was involved in it with himself. The children of Israel, over and over, were given proof after proof after proof. But when they stopped rehearsing it amongst themselves, when they didn't think on it daily, what happened? They wanted to be like the nations around them, and they wanted to serve other gods. But also in Deuteronomy the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It doesn't take long for our memories to go bad. But here's one of the more sad passages when we think about the idea of knowledge and knowing God's word. Turn with me to Hosea, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Hosea says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. Now notice what the charge is. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Does that sound familiar to today? Why do we have so much issues with crime, with all the other things that are going on? We have forgotten God, just as the children of Israel did in the day of Hosea. Verse 2, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Does that sound like the murderous rates that are going on in our big cities? Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for you, your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day, the prophet shall also stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. Now notice verse 6, which is the condemnation on the nation, and it can be a condemnation on us. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. How many people do you know that are destroyed for lack of knowledge about God's word? They couldn't even tell you by memory one verse. You know, when we were kids, one of the things that we did in Bible class was memory verses. And people, some of the kids would be just like, why did I have to do that? I learned the 23rd Psalm when I was 5 years old. I had a very good teacher. She was my best friend's mother. And you know what? I can still quote it today, not because of anything great about me, but I had someone that taught me. And you remember when you think about how beautiful God's word is. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings 20, 2 chapter, verses 8 through 20. Now, this is the time of the king Josiah. Remember, the kings of Judah were like this. You'd have a bad one, good one, bad one, good one. It was just a roller coaster, back and forth. Josiah became king when he was 8 years old. Beginning in verse 8 of chapter 22. Then Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. They had lost the law of Moses. They had not been using it. They had not been rehearsing it to their children. They had lost it. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Josiah realized they were being condemned by this book. And they need to make change, and they need to make it quick, or else God was going to bring destruction upon them. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. Because Josiah realized they were in sin and he wanted to change and he made the reforms, he did not have to see what was going to happen to the nation. How important is it to know the word? They had lost the word of God. And when they found it, look at the mess that they had been involved in. Psalm 78, 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, one point I want to make real quick. This book has not changed since it was written. It will not change. It was written once for all, and it will cover all of time until Jesus returns. Just like the law of Moses did not change. Therefore, therefore, when we rehearse that to our children, and they rehearse it to their children, it's not changing. And when we are grounded in that truth, as the first psalm told us, we're not going to forget what our God has done for us. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Do we see a theme in all these verses? God does not want us to forget. He knows what happens if we stop meditating and thinking about his law. That's when we do forget. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Once again, it's a real simple formula, isn't it? We immerse ourselves in God's word. We know it. We live it. And we can have joy, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Psalm 119, 15 and 16. Psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Why do our elders have us as a goal every year, daily Bible reading? So that we don't forget. That we study the Bible and we learn it and we keep relearning it. You know, the beautiful thing about the Bible is, no matter how many times you study it, you might see a little side point that you just didn't see before. But even if you don't, just the fact that you are grounding yourself over and over, like I can tell somebody that Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not because of anything about me. It's because of the power of the word. We can all have that knowledge. Now, we're going to have different levels of knowledge. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. God's going to judge us on what we do with what we have. But the point is, we grow and grow and grow the more we study. And the less and less and less we study, we forget. And then we can be tricked by people, by false teachers. Let's go back to Psalms. Oh, how I love your law. It is the meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. How can you go wrong when the word is written by the creator of the universe? You know, men write all kinds of books, and some of them are good, some of them are bad. But men make mistakes. Men make assumptions that aren't true. But when we go to God's word, we can never go wrong. Because he said we can understand it, we can read it, and it gives us the words of eternal life. Paul emphasized, now remember, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had changed his life completely. But he wanted to make the churches in Galatia aware of how serious it was to turn away from what they'd been taught. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Are there going to be people that are going to try and do that to you? Absolutely. Satan's going to try and work on you. He's going to try and make you think that God's word is not important. That you can just do your own thing and everything's going to be fine. But even if we, now this is an apostle talking, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if anyone, that includes the apostle Paul, preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. What does that tell you? The word did not change. And if you hear somebody telling you something different, you know that it's wrong. But we have to immerse ourselves so we know when we hear false doctrine. We hear something, we go, now, wait a second. I know what God's word says on that subject. You know, you hear people say, well, baptism is not important. Well, I know what they said on the day of Pentecost, that it was. I know that in every example of conversion in the book of Acts that we're studying right now, baptism was essential to salvation. So when you know what the book says, this book, and you hear somebody say something different, it's like, wait a second. But it comes through repetition. It comes through meditation. It comes through study, restudy. Not through osmosis. You know, some people think, I've got 5 or 6 copies of the Bible in my house, but yet they sit on a shelf. They gather dust and they never open. How do we become better in the knowledge of our Lord? The Hebrew writer said, another side point of what happens when we fail food. That's what happens when we don't study. We forget everything up even to the basic principles. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use, once again, that's study, that's repetition, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when we read this book, we're going to be able to discern both good and evil because we know what God says on the matter. But as Joshua was ending his life, in Joshua chapter 24, notice what the example of someone who did exactly what he was commissioned to do, to meditate and to immerse himself in the law. It says, now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Do you think Joshua was rehearsing that to the people? Bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up in Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of the ground which Jacob had brought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. Because of Joshua's strong leadership, because of his trust in God and in the law, and his meditation on that law, they knew what the law said, and they wanted to abide by it. But sadly, we find in the book of Judges, just the opposite takes place. Judges were kind of like the kings of Judah. Up and down and up and down and up and down. And the biggest problem was the knowledge of God. So it was as soon as Gideon was dead, now remember what a great leader Gideon was, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals. As soon as he was dead, thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side, nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. You can lose a whole country in one generation. The children of Israel were proof of that. If they did not teach their children, if they did not meditate on it themselves, we can lose the knowledge we need to live faithfully to God. Once again, the gospel is not tricky. It's not meant to confuse us. But we have to put in the work. We have to constantly remind ourselves through study what His word says. Now, some of us might be able to repeat the scripture more than others. That's not the point. The point is, I know if I hear something, I go, now wait a second, I know that the Bible says something different. And I can go and I can look and I can look up that passage and I go, yes, the Bible does say something different. Because I know, because I studied it. Because God's word can never be wrong. I can be wrong, but God's word can never be wrong. So as we think about our lives, The next time you study a book that maybe you studied before, remember, it's just going to strengthen your faith. It's going to give you the courage to stand up for what's right. Because if God said it, then it's true, and I can't go wrong. Repetition is so important. It's what makes us good at being Bible students and being the type of people God would have us to be. Let us never forget the danger of not studying God's word as we should, the danger of not meditating on it, and not knowing it, so that we can see when there's false doctrine out there. God wants us all to be saved, and that's why he provided this word. That's why he gave us all these verses to show the necessity of meditating and studying his word, so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes as those in times past. And we can do it. We can make sure that our lives are according to God's will if we but study and meditate on it. Tonight we want to offer the Lord's invitation. God has made a very simple plan for man. He sent his son to die for our sins. And through his blood we have the hope of eternal life. But once again, just as we can't know the scriptures unless we study them, we can't become a faithful child of God unless we're obedient to that will. And God has made it very clear what he expects of us. He expects us, through listening to his word, develop faith. We realize that we are in a sinful state before him. We realize what our Lord did for us in becoming that sacrifice for sins. We repent of those sins, confessing Jesus as our Lord, and we're buried in the waters of baptism. Also, if you're a Christian, there's a way to become back in a faithful situation with God. If we're involved in sin, we can pray and ask for forgiveness, and he'll forgive us. It's going to be sad on the day of judgment. So many people that thought that they could just scoot by and skirt by through life and forget about God and then think they're going to make it into heaven. May we never do that. May we always be so thankful that his word is so easy to understand. May we be thankful that Jesus did what he did for us. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.